Hey everybody, welcome to Bald Move TV. It's the officially unofficial podcast for all of television. I'm your host, Aaron.
I guess I'm Jim.
And I'm Cecily.
And we're here to talk.
The order's tough when you have three people.
Yeah. It's like just
I usually
just
try to cut Jim off.
She does.
You got to get in where you fit in. This is the discussion of episodes 4 or 5 and 6 of The Young Pope.
My favorite so far.
Okay, well, I was going to take the temperature of the room, but the temperature just flooded on in. What do you think, Jim?
I thought it was pretty good. I actually like that they have some grounding moments for these characters.
Uh-huh.
That was like the most important thing that these episodes did for me, is sort of reground everybody in the real world and not in this crazy, I don't know, just super ultra fashionable TV thing.
And by grounding, you mean people had sex and went out and bought cigarettes and had experiences with escorts.
Right. It's grounding in the most insane way. But at least it lets us know who these people are a little bit more.
Yeah.
Which I never got a good feel for in the first four episodes.
We got a better feel for their relationship too, the brothers or pseudo-brothers.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. But what's funny is, like, you talk about these grounding moments, and then you have the opposite of that, which is the Pope getting, he finally gets his tiara, and he's getting dressed to I'm Sexy and I Know It.
I fucking love that scene.
And I mean, this is the thing. Like, this show is, like, both high art, and it's kind of amazing. Like, his addressing, his making the cardinals kiss his feet is every bit as badass as Walter White saying, stay out of my territory.
Uh-huh.
But it's also fully ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of the speech, and he's just got this little Jude Law head swiveling under this enormous papal edifice.
Yeah.
And then the altar boys come and split his vestments or whatever, and you see this little red slipper creep out from the hem. And then there's like, a minute before someone gets up and kisses his slipper?
Yeah, Spencer's the first.
Yeah, Spencer stands up, scoots his chair, takes his hat off.
I thought he was retiring.
I thought he was resigning,
I thought he was going to start, you know, he was going to throw the chair next and then walk out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, like.
But in this time, he's gotten this, or he's directly responsible for making this woman pregnant, maybe? I don't know. This seems like.
This is some leftover stuff where you're never quite sure, right?
Yeah, like, this episode had me believing in God. The flower blooming in front of her eyes.
Right.
Spencer being the first to stand up and kiss his foot.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
And then just the capper on the entire scene is Vuelo getting up there and him putting his other foot on his neck.
To force him to do it.
Vuelo's not sure. He's like, no, come here. And he puts his other foot on him.
And that's a perfect example where it can be serious and ridiculous at the same time. And also, like, Spencer being the first is a payoff of hours of their personal relationship we've seen battle back and forth. The other thing visually is, like, I love the Pope on the elevated. He's literally taking the high road on Vuelo as Vielo's confessing and one. And
yeah.
Oh, man. Powerful. And, I mean, also, it's kind of neat to see. Like, Jude Law's got this point, or Lenny's got this point, that, like, I am different from every other pope because I'm just going to deny all my, I guess, human impulses. I'm going to be impervious. I'm going to be the thing that you're supposed to be, and then I'm going to take the Catholic Church to be what I think it's supposed to be, which.
And he's also impervious to attack or blackmail because he's lost everyone already. Like, the Catholic Church is
in pieces. Yeah.
I mean, he has fragmented these people to the point where there almost is no Catholic Church, and he's rebuilding it from the ground up. So what else can you do to him, right?
He doesn't have anything for you to hold against him.
Yeah.
Did you notice that in every scene in his personal dining hall, that the sunlight from the window coming in is just on him at all times?
And it gives him like a ghostly glow, holy glow, you might say.
Yeah,
this holy shining light around his head.
I was thinking as the awesome him, the Pope getting dressed scene, and also before we get to that, what was the significance of the credit sequence dispensing with the all around the watchtower and going with the somber music in the beginning?
It just made it feel more serious or creepier when he winked eventually.
It did.
It had a very somber tone, but he was still the same person.
I mean, it's like so much of the show, it's a very deliberate effect, but I'm not sure into what end it is servicing, which I'm fine with. The other thing I kept on thinking as I'm seeing him get dressed and he's got these gloves and his rings and the triple tiara and the slippers and all this stuff. And you can see, like, obviously the Pope's got the finest craftsman in all of Italy hand making this furniture, this big, you know, what do you call that? A litter that's carrying him out. And he's looking up at the Sistine fucking chapel. And I was so moved by the scene, I balderized the word fuck. And you know, he's just looking, but I was thinking, like, okay, you know, I'm pretty knowledgeable about the Bible. Peter, who he's the successor of, was a fisherman, probably wore rough spun, fishy smelling rags. How do we get from that to this? And when they show Father Gutierrez getting elevated to bishop, and like there's this a ceremony where he puts on the little mitre, and then they put the box hat on top of the go box hat on top of that. Like, where did all of this pomp come from? Like, someone invented all of these. This isn't in the Bible. Like, right. all these
ceremonial aspects,
these liturgies and these rituals are invented.
Right. Yeah. It seems like a very medieval thing, the excess and the
but
pomp of it.
Why
as
did
you
it
said.
Stop then? Why hasn't it continued? Like, why doesn't he have an animated LED crown and get some Blade Runner shit in there?
Yeah, I just feel like it's an excess, but I did read through some sort of article that the excess is what Lenny brought back.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's worn these robes in a long time.
In fact, it's the current Pope that we got.
Tiara is shipped in from
a
museum.
It was in a museum.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the current Pope is especially, like, he's gotten rid of everything except for essentially, you know, what Lenny goes around in his everyday. Not the tracksuit, but the his everyday kind of papal.
But he's still
robes.
Sleeping in a, you know, a shitty twin bed.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
some
well,
sort of humility
I mean,
to him.
He seems to be wielding all of this gravitas for the sake of you know, his whatever his goals are here. Yeah, which seems to be revolution or rebuilding the Catholic Church. And I don't think he cares about it personally so much.
It's the effect.
It's really
it has
just
on people.
Yeah, it's an image. It's a show.
Because that's what he was when you come to appreciate that he is waiting to address the cardinals, not for inspiration, hit him with a Pope bomb,
know,
and just hit him with his unquestionable authority and all the trappings of state, and look at, like, you know, it's kind of like the in-person equivalent of sending Sister Mary to remind everyone of his infallibility in contrast to your human fallibility.
Right, mm-hmm. And what kind of Pope bomb are we in store for when he does decide to show his visage to the people?
I think he lined it out pretty effectively to the Italian Prime Minister, and if I were him, I would be shitting my pants.
The gorgeous Christ-like Pope is now issuing you commands to vote.
I've been in hiding just so when I come out and say these two Latin words that means it's illegal to vote and no one's heard for 100 years, it's going to send people into pandemonium.
And the effect
and
of,
I think,
like,
it would work.
A young Pope. Yeah. Nobody knows. Does anybody know this guy's age?
They
don't know what he looks like.
Right.
The Pope is like 47.
No, but he's saying,
right,
does the public
knows it.
Yeah. Or do they think he's some just wrinkly old dude who's
plus,
near
I mean, they'll know
life.
He's the first American, which is already like Seth and I were talking. Like, will we see an American Pope in our lifetime? It's kind of odd that in the last 100 years, an American Pope hasn't, like, that seems like that's one of the last great, you know.
I mean, even if you look at, like, the buy-in percentage on Catholicism here in the U.S., it's nothing compared to a country like Italy, right?
I guess that's true, especially
Spain or any of those.
What makes you more prepared to be the most diehard Roman Catholic than to just come from Italy?
Yeah.
And I think that is usually going to trump all. You know, they went to this orphanage. They were raised into this, or at least we know that Lenny and the only other American.
Andy.
I forget his name.
His last name's crazy.
Color of the kid's hair.
Oh, I thought we were going to go into the miracle that he performed. That we don't really know the exact nature of.
A man and a woman at the same time?
He was a human condom.
It's a magic trick. Watch this cock disappear.
Yeah.
They're hair colors. They don't match the adults at all.
Really?
Like, one of them is just a straight up ginger, like red fire hair.
Yeah. Well, Andy,
and that's the old blonde guy.
No, I think I definitely can see a ginger kid going into that, like, more blonde copper.
Wait,
it's really
think he's
toned
blonde?
Down.
Has
I don't. Helped? No, I think he's def. Yeah, he's. I think he's a unmistakably a redhead.
He's definitely more like a traditional copper tone type of person.
But he's
kid
lightened out. Yeah.
Looks like he's had his hair dyed.
The
just this fire engine.
Yeah, the kid is. What is that? That Raggedy Andy? Is that the
yeah.
the doll?
Yeah,
the
Raggedy
fire
Andy.
Red hair.
Uh-huh. He's Raggedy Andy from here on out.
Raggedy Ann. Raggedy Andy. I think there's a Raggedy
there's
Andy.
There's a Raggedy
for boys.
Andy, Andy. Yes, there is.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then the Pope is like this blonde kid who now has dark hair, which I
yeah,
understand.
You
that
get
towhead
kids
yeah.
that sure. turn more brown or brunette.
Speaking of hair colors, do you guys think that Jude Law's hair is dyed that kind of gray?
His hair is so perfect, it almost looks like his hair especially, from like AI where he was playing
yeah.
a robot.
Yeah.
Especially in like the close-up scenes with Esther where she was leading his hand, you could see a close-up of his hair and it's like individual strands are gray. It's got to be his natural hair, right?
It could be.
I mean, I don't know what Jude Law looks like in real life anymore. I knew what he looked like 20 years ago, but I have no idea what he looks like now. Mm. So maybe that is his real hair.
I don't know.
He's always had good hair.
Right. He also has
maybe.
Jude Law has one of the great man asses I've ever seen.
It's impressive.
Like, I'm not out to look at dudes' bodies. I know I do comment on it from time to time, but like when he's wearing that tracksuit and he's walking,
I'm
like,
he's
it's like two puppies fighting in a fucking flour sack. It's incredibly round, bouncy ass. It's amazing.
Yeah, he must work for
it. And he's like 50 years old, like. It's incredible. Incredible.
Well,
incredible
we saw
ass.
Him work for it.
Yeah, he's got the papal right. the papal rack or whatever he was working on.
the papal Bowflex.
Yes.
Was anyone thinking like when he was threatening like, you know, particular hell and damnation and saying that the Cardinals had to crawl through the door, I actually thought that he might bring back the Inquisition.
In addition
to all the other shit that he was going to have the rack. And it's like, if you want to – you're not just going to get to resign – you're going to get to be a heretic. And, like, what would they do? Would the Italian army, like, march on the
Vatican
to save cardinals from being tortured in the bowels of the Sistine Chapel?
It's its own country, right? They would have to, like, declare war
on
the
Vatican.
It
would be something fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But that's also kind of the way the show is rolling, right?
That's true. Everything about the show is crazy.
And they keep on doing things like I loved in the middle of nothing having to do with anything, they showed the cardinal that was banished to Alaska.
Yeah.
And he's freezing his ass off doing some kind of homily in the middle
he
of
has
I don't know why
out in the middle of the
on the Ross ice shelf like yeah. what the hell?
I did notice there were some other cardinals out there. Do you
think
that
it might
in
have
the 9
been.
Months that have passed Lenny has banished some other cardinals to Kirchick Con?
Or it could be that's just like some kind of special festival where that's the first cross that ever was erected in Alaska and he's caught. Who knows?
Could be.
Who knows? I mean that's the thing I think is attractive about Catholicism is the pomp
the
and circumstance.
Nice.
No, the ritual. Like, it's still one of my bucket list things to do a midnight mass on Christmas at
an
old school.
Have you ever been to a Catholic wedding?
Nope. I've seen one. I've seen the Godfather.
That'll change your mind real quick. If you have to watch someone getting married for 2 hours and you're kneeling and you're sitting and you're kneeling and
but,
you're praying and you're singing.
But just once. And also when he invites them to say the Lord's model prayer, like, and I'm like, okay, well, I know how this goes. But they turn it into this beautiful Gregorian chant. It's
and
fucking
you're in
awesome.
There in the chapel and
like I can
everything around you is
I can
gorgeous.
See how you would feel the presence of God. Regardless of the actual presence of God in something like that, because you're essentially manufacturing something glorious and righteous.
Yeah, right. It definitely would give you like a feeling that you could attribute to a God, right?
Right.
If you were so inclined.
I mean, that's the voice of God, right? That's what gets people to convert and to believe, and that's what Lenny's searching for currently.
I had a similar experience the first Protoman concert I went to. but yeah, so I know you can definitely do things such as that. Am I right to say that we don't know the exact nature of the miracle that Lenny performed as a child? Because they imply that Billy, I believe, is the chubby kid that was sponging his mother's head.
Yeah.
Right.
And that she was on death's door and perhaps dying, and somehow Lenny did something –
When they cross that window as they're
right. Because it's something Andy wanted to talk about, and Lenny says, no, that I don't. I only talk about things I understand.
Yeah.
I just want to check to make sure that, because sometimes I just miss stuff. I find myself going into trances watching the show sometimes, mm-hmm. where like I'll realize that 30 or 40 seconds has clicked by and I've just been like lost in thought
right.
of something that's in front of me, you know,
or a previous scene. Just like yeah. I do that.
Like
too.
I need to almost pause the process, mm-hmm. everything that I'm seeing or feeling now.
And I'm wondering what the state of his belief is at this point, because he does have what he could certainly call a miracle with this baby,
sure.
with He's, the kangaroo in the garden, with
and
the
don't
flower.
You need three miracles to be canonized as a saint? And they keep on saying he's. I think that's what it is, that you've got like everyone raises your threat level, and I'm just might be talking about out of my ass, but I think you need three verified miracles to be considered a saint when you die. And they keep talking about this Pope is a saint. This Pope is a saint, and I'm wondering if. This is building up. The culmination of this season is going to be into him. Well, I mean, he has to die. That's the other thing. You have to die before you can be canonized.
What do we have? Four mm-hmm. more episodes?
It's either two or four. I'm not sure if it's an 8 or a 10 episode season.
Yeah, good question.
I would think that the promo material that they show at the end would have emphasized the end of the Pope, but it's. And I don't know if they're going to do another season or if this is a one shot.
I don't know. I mean, it's probably up to the BBC, I guess, or whoever.
Sky.
Made this
Sky Anal. Plus
Sea Anal. Sea Hanel.
I heard that it was a one and done type of thing, like True Detective, if they do more.
And that's fine, because this thing has completely fulfilled every bit of the promise that it had.
And more. And, like, we were expecting ridiculousness,
which we've
got.
Why
we've got this half-assed cast. Are you still calling it that?
Yeah.
It's what it is.
And it's been so much better than expected.
And I feel like maybe... The best moment of the series was in episode 106 when he's cradling this baby, and his assistant comes in and says, "Your Holiness," and he turns around and he drops this fucking baby.
What did I tell you when he dropped that baby? I said, "Jim's gonna love this."
Yes.
It was fantastic, because
it
was the most unexpected
and
inappropriate thing to do in that scene, and they just went for it.
Yeah.
And you knew it was
and
coming,
then, like,
too.
So, and then,
when he picked up the baby and he didn't know quite how to do it.
And then the Pope's reaction, like, I'm wondering, I don't know. At some level, I'm always wondering what Lenny.
Did he do it on purpose?
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to get at here. Like, is this something he did to engender an effect? Because there's also just a weird energy in that room.
Yeah.
I
thought it was maybe because... The guy wasn't sure about the Pope and her relationship.
Yes.
Exactly.
Does he think that little Pius is
Pius?
Right, because when he says, "Oh, it's Pius the 14th," it's like
they
cut to the guy and he gives like a weird look.
He does.
Yeah, and then back to Esther, who had the same uncomfortable kind of look to her. And I just don't know if how much of this they're.
But he's also a
really
miracle
feeling
baby.
Blessed by, or how uncomfortable they are, and then you know to have. Three men who could potentially be the father in the same room.
God's in there too. God's in there as well.
Four. Yeah. Four men who could potentially be the father. This
Wait,
is like an episode.
Who's the third?
The priest.
I was
wrong. The priest though she had the affair with was in the room as
I'm
well.
Saying the Pope himself. I don't think that he had sex with her, so that's not a possible candidate.
But in the
dad's, in their minds,
in the dad's mind,
right? In the dad's mind, and then the other guy's mind, it's just got to be so uncomfortable all around.
Yeah.
I would think so.
Maybe that's where the discomfort is from, because she know. I mean, maybe it's the fact that he brought him as an assistant, knowing that all this happened.
Right.
And then,
kind of a dick move.
Yeah. The other thing is that I don't think that Lenny would show the kind of humility, so to speak, you know, to show how embarrassed he was by dropping the baby if he had done it on accident.
Yeah. But then, you know, maybe one of the themes is that Lenny just doesn't know what appropriate is. He's been weird from kind of like the very beginning.
Right. He's always been an orphanage or, you know, the priesthood, and, you know, just like Gutierrez, he doesn't know how to operate outside of the church. Mm-hmm.
I thought Cardinal Mole Man, Viello, was interesting when he was obviously moved by what Lenny said about the priests, that they're afraid to love, that they're unhappy and they're cowards.
Right.
And then he decided to show... I guess a carnal interest in Sister Mary as a like what right. was he doing there? He just...
I think he was finding an excuse to echo Lenny's words. Like, you're so beautiful in the night. You're so beautiful in the night.
Yeah.
I can't be attracted to humans.
And then I thought, like, okay, you're just trying, like... Was he saying... Part of when I was processing this, is he saying this because he wants to see if this was actually some elaborate, like, panty drop and smack that Lenny was talking?
And it worked, by the way.
Was that to settle in his own mind that the young Pope really is this pure, incorruptible thing? Or if the Pope was playing a long game of, like, grooming and seduction?
I agree with that interpretation. It's at the end of that episode in particular where Boyolo goes to kiss his feet and he hesitates. That makes me question it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, either he believes or he doesn't.
I think he's really conflicted because...
Like, he knows Spencer's holdouts or his issues with him, and he was the first to go up there. So.
Right. Well, and I think that's interesting about Viello is he's caught, Boyolo. Like, Molello. that he is simultaneously... thinks that the Pope is a saint. I honestly believe, like, he had an epiphany watching, you know, like, what man has a woman grab his hand and put it right on her boob, and he's like, hey, like, look, I was here to make a baby, but not in that way. He was genuinely moved that the Pope is, in fact, a saint, but also terrified. Like, what does it mean if I've got this saint that I've battled with, and he's also destroying the church?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like that's one of the questions, the things asking us, or I guess in anyone, like we talked about last week, where's the line where, you know, Satan's tempting you or Christ is invisibly moving your hand?
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about two invisible forces warring over you. How the hell at
any
one time?
And
you're a sinful fallen creature. You have no way to get an external frame of reference.
I mean, if you're the Pope, I guess you attribute all of your actions to God.
Well, as a Pope, I mean, that
regardless of what they are.
But the Pope's special. He is, by being the Pope, incorruptible and infallible, and literally anything he says is the gospel.
Right.
Because of a bunch of Catholic beliefs that I barely understand and can't articulate. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's fascinating. And the other thing I was thinking is, like, for, you know, obviously I don't condone, you know, cracking down on gay people. I don't condone, you know, excluding women from the clergy. I don't condone, you know, making it hard to divorce in any kind of case. However, I've often thought I don't understand why religion just decided to soften on those things, because the Bible seems to take very clear and firm stances. And I've always thought, when I've talked to believers and I've had a couple beers in me and we're talking about these things, because, like, you know, sometimes a believer will go at me about something and I'll come back with, let me ask you, you know, do you think it's fine to be gay? Do you think it's fine to do this? And they always say, oh, yes, yes, because they're liberal Christians. My thing is, like, well, why don't you take one more step and just be like, it's nonsense.
Right. Like, 100 years after the Bible is made, why doesn't someone say, God told me this, and make some revisions? Like,
or if you're just going to decide...
people to death.
If you're just going to decide not to believe certain parts of the Bible, like, why not just keep going and say, not believe in any of it?
Well, sure. That's for someone who's done that, that's the slippery thing to say.
That's the slippery slope that I slid down myself. But I'm always curious about why.
But, I mean, there are people who have, you know, a lot of pressures in their life, a lot of internal pressures that keep them believing in those things for various reasons. And I don't know that it's fair to say, oh, it's silly to not just go all the way down that slope. But
no, I'm not.
This brings me to, like, the question. The biggest question I have about this series, which is, I keep waiting for the switcheroo. I keep waiting for the moment where we see that the Pope's true intentions are actually to unite people somehow through the destruction of the Catholic Church. I don't know if it's coming. I feel like it's foolish, perhaps, to keep waiting for that switcheroo. But my biggest question is, what is this show trying to say about the Catholic Church?
Fair,
And I don't know if maybe they're talking about that exact scenario that you're proposing here, where society as a whole, outside of religion, is getting more and more progressive on these types of issues. How does a church that has this gospel built into it, how do they adapt and still maintain their power within that? And it seems like this Pope is willing to say, you know, to go to the extreme and say we're going to deny all the benefits of the progression of society in favor of sticking literally to this book.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I don't know, like, how does the Catholic Church in a world that's ever more progressive mm-hmm. maintain its power?
Well, and he also says, he keeps saying, I want to start a revolution. Maybe the revolt is the final, like I'm going to destroy the papacy because it's ridiculous.
Right, and that's why, that's the switcheroo I'm talking about, right. But it doesn't, I don't know what his game is.
Because well, I think he's
exactly.
like.
Exactly, he hasn't revealed any of his motives yet.
Yeah.
Right.
That first dream sequence where he says he's, you know, accepting of all of these things is what
yeah.
continues to throw me off.
Yeah, same here, yep.
Because I
he
yeah,
said
I just,
the exact reverse, and in fact, he's been so hard on it. It makes me think that like he doesn't even believe in all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know, he's doing all of those things that he knows the prime minister's main focus point and his main, you know, campaign is to make all of these things possible for gay marriage and common law marriage and abortion, things like that. He's doing it directly in opposition of that person. And not because he believes in it, but, you know, he has yet to reveal his motivation. So I
yeah.
don't know what he wants. And that's the central mystery of the whole series, I think, so far.
For me,
in
yeah.
In my opinion, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a lot of other this, you know, kind of... Because I am convinced after these last two episodes that Lenny does believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he's like, you know, because like he had the kangaroo jump, he made this miracle happen,
right.
which is like a confirmation. And that moment that him and Esther shared in the garden where the flower opened and they both felt the presence of God for better or worse, like that feels like all of his private devotion feels genuine.
Right. Like confirmation bias. Like these things happen to be happening at this same time. The sun hits the flower opens while you're having this conversation. It's God. She happens to get pregnant after all mm-hmm. this time. It's
kangaroo
me praying
jumps.
To God. So does he believe in God or does he believe in himself more?
I
think
know.
He believes more in himself being empowered by something. He's attributing it to something else, but it just feels like confirmation bias currently. Or there is some sort of supernatural aspect, like the gold door in the cardinal meeting.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Where did it come from?
Was that a
Where
real door?
Go?
I guess.
Or was that metaphysical?
Like, are he had them build it.
But
like,
are they having, like, a shared delusion?
Yeah, it seemed like it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It did, yeah.
The other thing I thought is, like, you know, Jesus, if you buy the literal story of Jesus, Jesus arose from a Jewish culture and replaced the Jewish culture with this new culture of Christianity. Mm-hmm. Because that culture had gotten to where... You know, they had taken things where God had said, you should take my words and keep them in front of your eyes. And they'd literally taken boxes that had bits of the law covenant on tiny little scrolls and tied them to their foreheads. Like, literally. And
I remember the Bible storybook, sure.
Yeah, yeah. And Jesus would always have his harshest condemnations for those Pharisees and Sadducees. Like he would call them whitewashed graves and that they strain the gnat but gulp down the camel and they try to save people's souls but make them.
They were ignoring
them...
the principle in favor of the letter of the law.
And I wonder if the Pope, because he's also referring to himself as a Messiah, I wonder if he's going to be here to replace Catholicism with something that he thinks is more befitting to true Christianity. Because that's another thing. It's like if you're like, I don't know if you're a cat. I don't, I mean, but I guess as when I was a Jehovah's Witness, I'd often sit in like meetings when they were talking and I like, I wonder if Jesus came through the door right now. He is a male wearing a dress, having a beard. For sure. And he would certainly not be qualified to give talks on the platform. And he would see this brother being harsh with a brother or sister or being greedy. And he would be, you know, like he would be shocked. And like what would Jesus, who humbly washed his apostles' feet and wore very simple things and raised money for the poor and had no place to rest his head, what would he do if he walked into Sistine Chapel at that moment where Lenny is essentially transformed into Pope Bot 2000? Like, what the hell would he say? Like,
what
this
would
is my
Jesus
church?
Do?
Or yeah. what would yeah. Jesus say? And I wonder if Lenny at some point recognizes that and he's literally trying to transform the church to be more like, I don't want Catholics. I want Christians. I want to undo these schisms, which kind of dovetails in that scene where he had with the monks, where they're threatening a schism, and he's like
threatening to strip them of their underpants.
Yeah,
and threatening to slap shoes on them.
That speech he gave, where I will fight you with all my power, and you will have nothing but bottomless poverty. Like, oh my god.
Take the monasteries. What do they have?
I chuckled because in this morning I got up and there's this headline about, I guess the Pope had said something about nationalism, the real Pope that we have, said something about nationalism and warning people against it. And Trump decided to apply it to himself and say that he was offended that the Pope had said something about him. And I'm like, man, I would love to see Jude Law. Like, I want Saturday Night Live to get Jude Law in his full Pope Pius the 13th regalia and give, like, a papal condemnation to Donald. Yeah. Like, respond as if he's the real Pope.
Right.
Like, can you even fucking imagine?
That'd be so good.
Fault Move needs to get that going. Call up.
Just go ahead and record that. So if they don't do it on Saturday, we'll be ready.
All right. But like, come on, man. Like, this is a Pope you don't fuck with because he is not afraid to lose everything. Like, Molello said, you know, if you do, what was it? If you ban abortion, that the women will come and tear down the walls of the city, which I think was a hilarious mental image. And they'll have their pink hats on, of course, and they'll tear down the walls. And Jude Law's like, yeah, let them. We'll build them up bigger and finer. Like, he just doesn't care.
Right.
He doesn't care about the money. He doesn't care about anything.
Yeah. He wears sunglasses with his papal robes.
That
he doesn't care.
Yeah.
A great look.
Although I got to say that he cares a little bit because one of the long litany of things that he wanted to address with the Italian prime minister was laxing the banking laws concerning the Holy See and expanding his territorial sovereignty. I thought that was interesting, too.
Hmm. Yeah.
Those have nothing to do with closeness to God and the relationship of the Catholics to God. That's all about his personal power and wealth.
I just wonder which of those is the ones you throw in there for negotiation to get the ones he really wants. Like,
the ones
does he actually want out of that list?
Right.
Yeah.
The stuff for God or the stuff for himself?
They'd probably sooner give him the territory and the sovereignty than they would the anti-abortion.
Well,
the
that's a win. He's got in a lose-lose situation because I do believe in the Italian prime minister, if he did all the draconian, socially regressive things, he would lose the election.
Yeah.
If the Pope comes and carries out his threat, he would absolutely lose the election. So what does he do?
Give him a couple of the things in exchange for not doing the
but
other things.
None of those things. Like, any of one of those things.
But
like,
he immediately some of them came out of that meeting and said to the press, I'm doing this and this and this, and I'm not doing any of the things that the Pope wants me to do.
Oh, we also didn't talk about the Pope and all the cardinals showing up at Tomisi or whatever.
That was going to be my final question.
Tonino.
Like, did the Vatican disappear, Tonino?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
But the cardinal saying, we're here because you're breaking our balls.
Right. And then the episode ends. That was great.
Damn, you like the sixth episode best. I thought the fifth episode.
I just thought that moment with the baby.
Incredible.
But on a whole, I think I like the fifth one.
What about Andy having a three-way with the people in Guatemala?
Some kinky sex for a priest.
What? There's no thing where, like, I want to say this is bullshit and wildly out of character.
I don't think it is.
Every time I've been tempted to say that about the show, three episodes later, they prove me wrong.
Right.
And there's going to be, like, does Lenny know about this?
And, I mean, the sex scandal is nothing new to the Catholic Church, so...
But I don't think Lenny will have any part of it.
No, certainly
not.
No.
He's definitely not. He's got way too much on the line. Yeah. I don't think that Andy, his name, I don't think that he is that invested. I think that he was one of those people who was brought into it and raised into it and is not fully invested. But wants to keep people on the straight and narrow, as he said in his, you know, exit interview speech to his congregation, that he wants them to do all of these things, but wants them to keep a clear head about it. And the next preacher that you have coming in is going to yell at you about all of these things.
He's going to be a real Christian.
Yeah, like, bust some balls.
He might get killed in the car bomb in a week. So I want to talk about the trick they played in this episode, which I don't think it exactly worked. They flash forward 9 months just so the Pope could drop a baby.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But every other plot line was literally put on freeze.
I wanted to Gutierrez in New York.
Gutierrez was just now boarding a plane. And they even had some awkward dialogue where Andy was addressing the congregation, hey, I've come back 9 months later just to say goodbye. Because So I guess they tried to have that the Pope was preparing them for their mission for nine months. But
accepted the position that he offered him?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
Okay.
But I'm just saying that like it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. The only reason that happened is because they needed to flash forward to Esther having the baby.
Right.
But we've only got 10 episodes.
I'm going to forgive him, but it's just a really awkward and jarring moment that I hope is just that's this one moment of time and everything else goes on. And I guess it did also allow some of the financial and other societal pressure type nooses tightener a little bit around Lenny's neck.
Right. And the same thing happens with like House of Cards, for instance. None of the juicy storylines happen in the first few days or weeks of someone becoming president or vice president or the Pope. Maybe Donald Trump is doing some interesting things right now, but I think.
But
I don't know.
Your
I'm
point is
to
taken.
Forgive it just for that reason, like you need nine months in order to do something really shocking.
That's true. And knowing that 9 months have passed, nobody has seen the Pope yet. There's not even a picture. Speaking of which,
that does build up.
Escort's picture.
Yeah, right. That escort took a picture of him. Right. That's coming back to haunt him, right?
She's got proof of God's existence. I mean, what proof is that, though?
Because his eyes are so beautiful.
I had this conversation with Aaron the other night, and that was when she gave birth, or when he put his hand on her open shirt underneath it, and he had the picture. It looked like they had an illicit relationship. Just one picture could tell that story. Mm-hmm. And then 9 months later, she has a baby. You could think it's the Pope's, but, you know, paternity tests and all
and,
that. But
I mean,
also,
Mary still has the pictures and stuff.
I wonder if Mary's going to be the one that destroys him.
It could be.
But I don't know why.
She's telling some interesting lies herself.
Well, true.
Like saying that she never told Voiello that he was out. When she did, and he got all the evidence, and then immediately turned it around against him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what her game is. Not sure.
What's the deal with her playing sexy basketball in front of all these prepubescent right. boys?
Why? Because she's so terrible at it. It's been like, what, 40
we were
years
talking
and she's
about,
still awful.
We were talking about how whoever they got to play young Diane Keaton. Number one, it's weird to me that I know what young Diane Keaton looks like, and this is who you cast. This
and
is
not
what.
Annie Hall.
Right.
Yeah, and secondly, you can't,
but
like,
her nose works.
Can you find an actress that can dribble a fucking basketball without, it's like, this is my, like, when supposedly a badass military dude's firing guns and blinking with it and flinching with every gunshot, like,
right.
People to play basketball, like, if you just spend a couple of hours practicing so you don't have to look at your hand in the ball as you're dribbling down. Like, come on.
I mean, they should have gone full on
just got
Looney Tunes
just got
with it
some...
and had her do this spinning triple thing
get,
with their legs
have
out
God's
and
getting
dunking.
One of them gals from the W.
Getting
one of them gals from the WNBA, throw her in a habit, film her from behind, and have her fucking dunk the ball.
Yeah.
Like, just a spinning, flying, shatter the metal backboard. Like, this is a kid's reimagination, like, memory of this event. It should be spectacular.
Yeah.
Right.
And I didn't feel like it was.
Yeah, the execution of that, like,
in comparison with all the other crazy things we see.
Everything else that is just so perfect and just even more amazing than I was expecting.
But I will say I appreciate that they don't go crazy all the time. Because if this was nothing but ludicrous, insane scenes top to bottom, the ones that they do put in wouldn't hit.
They need scenes of him and his brother. I say brother, quote unquote, from the orphanage. Him, but Lenny and Andy running around Rome.
Yeah.
So you understand so the ground, the crazy scenes. Mm-hmm. But I got to say that, like, one of the things I almost said last week is, you know, when we talked about the spoiler edition, we knew he's going to get to Triple Tierra, and that's what he's waiting to deploy in the Cardinals. My expectations are so high, I thought I was going to be disappointed. I'm like, it's almost weird. It's like, why even show that? Like, that's such a huge surprise. Why ruin it? But it still was everything I wanted to be and more. Like
they
I said,
it. Yeah.
the speech that he gave and then the slipper moment was righteous.
Yeah.
It's just so – again, it alternates between jaw-dropping, amazing, and hysterical, and I love it. It's it this has been a real treat.
We these last two episodes to change the topic – missing the marketing director.
Lady. Yeah. She's taken. She's been gone. Well,
like, did you see what?
Sorry, Kangaroo Watch 2K17.
Still going.
It's good.
He's now in remote control.
Every episode.
Did you guys notice government issue Italian face man?
Yes.
This time?
Yeah, the major domo. Okay.
Yeah. All right. That's the guy I was talking about.
I noticed he was the first one I noticed that the sunlight coming into the breakfast hall, he was standing directly in that path of light, and he looked down like he was uncomfortable with that much sunlight in his eyes. But it worked to illuminate Lenny, and he had to be there, I guess. But
yeah.
Yeah, no. Striking government issued.
He does have a government issued face.
Italian government issued. So
the other thing, the final comment I have on this,
because we got to talk about the gay priest that threw himself off the roof of the chapel.
Right. Okay, so let me do one silly thing first.
Okay.
I have, in this show, I am now accustomed, I'm conditioned to when I see nudity, I think it's going to be Jude Law's ass. Like, I see the, oh, it's got adult language, adult content, nudity.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, okay, Jude Law's showing his ass.
You should have a JLA. It could be right. Justice League of America or Jude Law's ass. You got to watch.
So I was pleasantly surprised when it was not his ass. It was actually
full on crazy ass nudity. What is going to be the fallout, no pun intended, of the young? And I'm not even sure if he's gay because, like, because it sounded like Lenny was going to hire, like, the prostitute propositioning him gave him the idea that he doesn't even care if they're gay. I mean, obviously, gay is right out, but any priest that fails this moral test is going to be shown the door. And it wasn't, when Andy kind of hugged him, like, at the end, they kind of showed that maybe he had a close, and the way he was shooting daggers at Andy, I kind of think that maybe they had a relationship.
Maybe, or at the very least, the kid knows about Andy's
wild swinging Guatemalan days,
right?
But him throwing himself off the roof there, that's not going to faze Lenny at all.
No, it's not. That's only one story out of how many people are being affected by this new law and order.
But someone throwing themselves off the top of St. Peter's Basilica or whatever is going to be a huge international story.
Absolutely, but you can spin that to be anything you want it to be. Honestly, will that force
Lenny into the public to make a statement and waste his power by doing so?
And how will it affect, I guess, the relationship between the brothers here? Between Lenny, who's handing down the commandments that send this kid to his death.
Especially since
Andy, who was trying to help this kid out.
And Andy was dead set against, like, this is the one thing I don't want to do. And the Pope's like, too bad. I'm the Pope. You got to do it. Yeah. Now that's a real rift.
And he's got this weight on his shoulders now because he could have said no and he could have stuck to his guns and, you know, given up everything he's worked so hard for in his life, if he did work hard for it. But, you know, he betrayed his own values and now a young kid is dead for that. So
yeah,
I think that maybe he'll be the one to throw his hat down and walk out.
Maybe.
Or,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know where this is going to go. Is the whole church going to turn against him? Or is this going to bring forth more faithful, serious followers, which is what he's hoping for currently?
Yeah, it's surprising to me that he's leaning so heavily on all of the respect and the pomp and circumstance and the gravitas he has as the Pope in these elaborate robes and this elaborate city. When if he gets his way and the church becomes a small but dedicated few, he's going to lose all that. Mm-hmm. He can't maintain Vatican City.
Again, he wants to start a revolution. So that might...
I know, but he's using that as the tool to that end, and that tool will disappear gradually over time, right?
Yeah.
Like, he can't lean on that forever.
Unless the destruction of it is what his goal is, and then once he loses it, he's fine.
Sure, yeah.
Plus, he's still the young Pope. He's still ridiculously good-looking Jude Law.
He's got a modeling career after his popehood if he wants it.
I mean, nothing else, an ass model.
Talk about Voiello's biographies because there's a
business my God, yes.
To sell his own biographies.
And that little moment where the guy breaks in by saying I think it's a star soccer player's back on a drug habit and like, why do you hurt me this way? Like, there's some really, really great scenes. We touched on this disappearance of the mad sheep monk, but we don't know where it's going. Like, I find it hard to believe that the cardinals and the Pope actually offed him.
Yeah.
No.
They might have impressed upon him his need to go disappear, or maybe he killed himself as a result, but there's no way like they all drew pistols and shot him to death after the
right. No,
yeah,
the Pope himself would not get his hands dirty. Mm-mm. If anything, and he was there.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't know what their game is with him. Like, I don't know why they don't just bring him into the flock.
Yeah,
he seems to have dedicated followers.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
co-opt him.
Shall we get to some? I got a little bit of feedback. Do you guys want to talk about?
Bring it.
Anything else?
Nope.
Jason A says, to Jim's point about not really knowing what the hell is going on from time to time, specifically with the dancing Prime Minister Greenland, I think it's part of the appeal. The young Pope is nuts, but it knows it's nuts. Mm-hmm. It lets you know right in the opening credits when Lenny winks at the camera at the sequence end. Juxtapose this with Westworld, which had great big ideas about life and existentialism, but was so self-serious and pretentious, I hate watched it by episode 6. Young Pope is about talking about big ideas, but it doesn't think it's more clever than the viewer. I agree. Mm-hmm. I think that is that's exactly the way the correct lens to view this through.
Right.
Also, our buddy Jason from the Nattercast, he had a profound point on Facebook earlier this week, because one of his fans was saying, I just don't get the young Pope. What am I missing? And he said, 2,000 years ago, two men were born that had radical ideas about, you know, changing life and religion, and both thought that they were divine. One was Caligula and the other was Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that what they're playing with is Jude Law walking between those two extremes.
Hmm.
I got to say, after this week, I'm seeing less Caligula, but Jason sent in a follow-up prediction, said, noticing the parallels between Jude Law's character and historical Caligula, my prediction is Lenny will be assassinated when he attempts to move the Vatican out of Italy.
Why would he move it out of Italy?
Well, if he doesn't get his expansion that he's looking for and all his
like, what if the Pope said? What if the Pope said that the Italy no longer respects the Holy Roman Catholic Empire? I am accepting bids from nations around the world.
California.
Like, what? There's nations that would offer him hundreds of square miles in exchange for the Holy See moving there. I'm certain.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are the laws regarding the Pope becoming a prime minister?
I don't know.
Could he become the prime minister of
Italy? I did research on this triple this tiara, and you notice that it's this big crown that has three halos, and it's to represent that he has dominion over all the earthly governments, all of the Christian authority, and
your
some
underpants.
And I think and I think also the I forgot the third halo, but it seems like that the Pope already is like the ultimate king of he's the king of the world in Catholic doctrine.
Sure.
So taking prime minister of Italy would be a demotion.
Right.
Yeah, but sorry, king of the world, I don't take you seriously.
Well, like, that's what
you
the...
can proclaim. I proclaim myself king of the universe, so he's got to answer to me, frankly.
That you're playing the Italian prime minister.
Right.
In this particular scene. I don't know. I'm curious to see if he actually gets assassinated, if they definitively kill him.
Yeah, I don't know where this ends. I really don't at this point.
I bet if they don't kill him, the temptation to do a second season would be high. I don't know if they should give in to that, because this does feel like this little Fabergé True Detective season one egg that maybe they should let lie.
Yeah.
But right. Like I said, I'm thoroughly enraptured with this. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to send us feedback, it's easy. TV@baldmove.com. We also have forums at forums.baldmove.com that you can talk with your fellow fans. There's episode threads every week. It's been fun to talk with people there. Also, if you'd like to support Bald Move, I haven't done one of these ads in a while, we could use it. The only way we stay in business is because of direct listener support.
Venmo me directly.
Yeah. Yeah. Quick pay Cecily. She'll give her account number here momentarily.
But check the show notes.
But you can do so by going to support.baldmove.com, where you can either donate to us or join the club, where you can get a lot of behind-the-scenes bonus features and videos and exclusive reviews of upcoming movies and special weekly events like Lunch with Jim and Aaron. All kinds of cool features. Go to support.baldmove.com to find out about that. And we will be back next week for another two episodes of The Young Pope.
We will.
See you then.
Bye.